What's the most valuable thing you have ever searched for? Like really, really took your time, like you're digging, you're pursuing, you're constantly going after it. Was it maybe a pair of keys because you were running late and you're like, oh my goodness, I have to find these keys so I won't be even later. Maybe you lost a valuable item, a wedding ring or heirloom passed down to you. Maybe it's something that you really desire for your future, a better job, healing in your relationship, even a bigger house because your family is growing, a better education. You actively pursued those things. Because here's the things that I'm really starting to understand. We find what we pursue. That's just the truth. We discover what we dig for. And in today's Proverbs 2, we're going to challenge ourselves and challenges, because I'm included in this. And the question I want us to think about and really, really, really settle in our spirits and really take time to answer, am I pursuing Jesus the way I pursue everything else in my life? Am I? Am I pursuing the knowledge and the heartbeat and the movement of Christ the way I am with everything else? Because if wisdom is a person, and we know that that person is Jesus, then the question isn't just, do I want wisdom? It is, am I willing to chase after him like the greatest treasure in this world? We talked about it last week. Wisdom is crying out. She called for us. Turn around, respond before it's too late. So we have heard, and I hope, and hopefully from the assignment from last week, you responded. And what we are learning through these books of wisdom, that this Christian walk isn't passive, but it is the greatest and most beautiful treasure hunt that we can ever participate in. Let's talk. Welcome back. I am so thankful that you are here. I am Jennifer Jefferson, the voice behind Conquering Me podcast, where we talk about the joys of developing a personal relationship with Jesus. I want you to go ahead and subscribe, download this episode, share it with somebody who really is on the journey to learn more of God. And really, and especially with us in this topic of wisdom, it's not a very well-discussed conversation. But it is the heart in the pursuit of God. And it's so interesting. As I was preparing for this, and I was speaking to my husband, and I said to him, I said, what the interesting part is, the more and more we pursue wisdom, the more God answers us, and more we only want to pursue God himself. Like everything else becomes by the wayside, because we want just to pursue him, because we understand that he is the greatest treasure. So I want us to continue our conversation. And once again, just for anyone who is new, we do talk about the joys of developing a relationship with Christ. And because it is a journey, it is an ongoing journey. I do believe that as believers and as Christians, we never quote unquote arrive. There is always something for us to learn, grow, pursue, repent, whatever it is. But God has placed me in specifically in 7 books, and I will be in those books for an extremely long time. When I say long time, I mean long, 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 long. And God wants me to dive into these books because these books really speak to wisdom. Now, I would say, like, normally when people say, oh, the book of wisdom, they'll lead you to Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. But I did speak to my husband and other trusted I would say spiritual advisors that I look at, like, you know, when you think of the book of wisdom, what do you think about? And what, you know, those who I know really study the word and they really dive into the word. And then as I sat down and took their information, the Lord gave me 7 books where we will dive into, and we were going to learn so much from them. And everything, I want us to see God. I want us to see how Jesus moved. And I want us to see the character of God. And also, I want us to see how we can apply it. Because the word of God is transformational. It is not just something to quote. It is not just something to speak over yourself, which is beautiful. Those things are beautiful. Quote the scripture. Speak over your life. But it needs to transform you. So we're going into Proverbs 2. And this whole chapter, it really speaks about the treasure and the hunt of God. And I'm really going to focus on the first 11 verses, but I'm going to read the entire chapter. And I'm in Amplified version. And so Proverbs 2:1 says this, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that your ear is attentive to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." Yes, I'm sorry. "Apply your heart to understanding, seeking it and striving for it eagerly. Yes, if you cry out for insight and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek skillful, godly wisdom as you would silver and search for her, you would hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, that is worshiping him and regarding him as truly awesome, and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores away wisdom, sound wisdom for the righteous, those who are in his right standing with him, those who are in right standing with him. He is the shield to those who walk in integrity, those of honorable character and moral courage. He guards the path of justice, and he preserves the way of his saints, the believers. Then you will understand righteousness and justice in every circumstance, and integrity in every good path. For skillful and godly wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding and discernment will guard you to keep you from the way of the evil and the evil man, from the man who seeks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who find joy in doing evil and delight in perversity of evil. Those and whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress and with her flattering words, who leaves the companion, her husband, and her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her path leads to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men, that is, of those with personal integrity, moral courage, and honorable character, and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright, those who are in right standing with God, will live in the land, and those of integrity who are blameless in God's sight will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be forcibly uprooted and removed from it." And I wanted to focus on the first 11. I wanted to read the whole chapter because what I love about Proverbs and a lot of the books of wisdom, it really tells you the consequences of not, and also the warning within the same chapter. But I wanted to focus on the first 11 verses. In the first 11 verses, you will see the words. There's very active words within there. Very active words within the first 11 verses. You will see things like accept, store up, turn your ear, apply your heart, call out, cry aloud, look for and search, walk. All these are action words. So what is it saying to us? What's interesting, as I was studying, I was thinking about the song, Reckless Love of God. And then I had to think about it, and I cannot remember all the lyrics. But as I was thinking about the song, I was like, is this song biblical? Then I started to think about the words. I said, well, I do remember the script where one of the lines that says, you will leave the 99 and pursue me. You know, and there is a scripture about where he will go after the one and leave the 99. So I was like, okay. But once again, I don't remember all of the songs. But then when you look at that specific verse within that song, that is for those who have left the fold, those who have left the kingdom. You're no longer in. You have decided, I'm good. I'm leaving now. You know, I'm going to do my own thing. But then when I read a lot of the Bible, it really is about our pursuit of God and not the other way. Yes, Jesus stands at the door and he knocks, but we still have the responsibility to open. The Bible talks about not to harden your heart. We touched on this last week. not to harden your heart. So when I think about some of the songs and conversations and messages that we're listening that's in front, I want you to begin to really kind of think of it from a wisdom perspective. Is this teaching me to be passive, or is this teaching me to actively pursue God? Am I waiting for God to come after me, or is this message or is this song telling me to actively pursue God himself? Because this is what Jeremiah 19 and 13 says. And I'm going to go to the, I have the Amplified version pulled up, and I'm going to go to the NLV version. No, NLT. Let's go to the NLT version. NLT says this, which is the New Living Translation. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Amplified says, you will seek me and you will find me. And when you seek me with all of your heart. What is this saying? God wants to be found. He wants us to pursue us, but he requires it to be a wholehearted effort. Wholehearted pursuits, not just halfway, not coming to God with your agenda, but really having this empty mindset, basically. Say, God, I am a true vessel. I want to be an empty vessel, and I want you to pour into me. So when we're looking at Proverbs and we're looking at wisdom, scripture tells us that those who ask of his wisdom, that he will give it to us freely. So asking is us pursuing. So once again, this is an intentional, active walk. And I'm going to ask you over and over and over. Are you actively pursuing Christ the way that you are pursuing everything else in your life? God wants us to pursue and actively seek him. One of my favorite scriptures, it is Hebrews 11 and 6. And it says that he is, and I'm paraphrasing, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I remember the first time I read that, I said, God, you're going to reward me just for the seek. But then also I know that you're going to give me an answer. Sometimes the answer I may not understand, but I know it's going to bless me. So there is a constant thing of God wanting to answer us on a continuous basis, but we have to pursue it. Now, here's the thing I said earlier about he wants us to pursue him wholeheartedly. But have you ever thought about if you half-heartedly seek God, do I get half-hearted results? Have we ever thought that maybe God is like, I'll match your energy? Have we ever thought about that? He wants all of us, not a portion, not a piece, but he wants all of us. He wants us to be in a position where we're constantly seeking after him and understanding that his wisdom, which is Christ, is the most valuable thing that we can have. And I don't want to say thing as a disrespectful type of way, but I want us to see it as if I have God's wisdom, if I pursue him, that means I'm accessing the kingdom of heaven. One of my favorite scriptures is when the disciples, the passages, when the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Rabbi, how do we pray? And it says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that means that as believers, we should always be seeking after the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of heaven. We should always be seeking that. Matthew 13, 44 and 46 says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered, hidden in a field, and in his excitement, he hid it again. Now that's one of those things where you find something so exciting, so good, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I got to put this back down. I don't want this to get lost. I don't want nobody to find it, none of this other stuff. Like, I'm just thinking about myself. If I find something so wonderful, and I'm like, I dug for this thing, I got to hide it just to make sure. It's like, it's the human response. How do I make sure this is safe? I don't want this to be get messed up. He hit it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Get that. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. Jesus continues to say that he hit it again in that same field, and he sold everything he owned to buy the entire field. This is how precious pursuing God is. Is it more valuable than anything that you own? Remember, we're not talking about a passive faith. We're talking about a relentless pursuit. There was a song that was popular years ago, and it was specifically popular in a lot of Black American. And it was, I'm chasing after you. No matter what I have to do, I need you more and more. And I remember the church at the time where we were, we sung that, and I was on the praise team. We sung that almost every Sunday during offering. And I remember one of my good friends saying, like, look, I don't want to sing this song anymore. But I was like, I like this song. I don't know what the problem is. But then I understood from her perspective, like, look, we sing this all the time and I'm over it. But when I think about that, I'm chasing after you. No matter what I have to do, I need you more and more. It is like this constant itch that needs to be scratched. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that has the ointment for it. It's like, I need you more and more. Nothing else can satisfy what I am desiring from you. And the truth is, the more and more we chase after God, it is not the things of God that begin to settle us. It is his heart and his ways and his presence that fulfills us. So once again, are you pursuing Jesus the way you pursue everything else in your life? Because I love when it says in James 4, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart. Once again, this is the wholehearted pursuit. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Where are you divided? When wisdom is speaking to us, wisdom is literally telling us the steps on how to choose God on a consistent basis. Yes, once again, it is wonderful to plan for the future. The Bible encourages us to plan. Wisdom is telling us how to plan for the future, how to prepare for it, but also how to deal with the day-to-day stuff so that our loyalty will not be divided between God and this world. And I was thinking about this the other day. There was some things in pop culture that I saw, and there was a specific person where people say, man, this person was not like this 20 years ago. They were not this. Now they're just this negative person. And the person always says, I'm not going to lose my check. I'll do whatever I need to do to make sure I keep my dollar, right? And the first scripture that came to me was, what profits a man to gain the whole world and yet to lose his soul? But what I thought about was, it wasn't, the change did not happen the moment they received this big contract with these huge numbers. The change began to happen with the small foxes. Maybe, and I'm pretty sure maybe you've heard that, sometimes you just got to do what you need to do to get your foot in the door. Have we ever thought about that mindset? And that idea of do what you have to do to get your foot in the door is actually us opening the door so that we have now created this battle between loyalty of the world and God. Scripture also tells us you will not serve two masters, Mammon and God. And Mammon in the Bible is talking about money. Wisdom is constantly telling us to choose the Lord. When we seek him, come close to God. It says, come close to God and God will come close to you. That is in James 4. So it's the little things. It's the little things of, am I focusing heavily more on my pursuit of my desires, my education, my family, and all these things? And these things might be the things that God has placed in your heart. Do not misunderstand it. But it is not your savior. It is not your healer. It is not your deliverer. It does not give you peace. It may make life a little bit easier to where now you have access to more things and now you can help more people. But what does it do for you mentally, spiritually, emotionally? How does this help with the kingdom of heaven? Because I said earlier, one of my favorite passages is when they ask, how do we pray? And Jesus says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the, I remember reading this passage and I'm working on this and it talks about prayer and the pursuit of prayer. And part of the passage that I'm working on, it says the permission that we give God to work with us. And I think we don't understand. It feels weird for a lot of Christians to say, what do you mean permission? Remember I said last week, God is not going to bogart you. He's not forceful. That's not love for him to make you do it. He's going to allow you to choose. But see, the thing is we're looking for, see, the beauty about a partnership is that there is a yes, a continued agreement. So when we're praying for certain things and we're seeking things, first of all, are we seeking him wholeheartedly? Are we diligently seeking him? Are we coming to God first? Or do we have the mindset of God, you come to me? Because scriptures lets me know that if I want God to be close to me, I have to make the first move. And I know that's hard because a lot of times it is about a passive instead of an intentional faith. Because the more and more I seek him, the more and more I pursue him, we find out it is a treasure. And treasures are always rewards. Episode one, we say that we found out how God is the source, the fear, how we have to fear and tremble. And once again, fear is not like, oh, I'm afraid. It is about a reverence. Episode two, we understood how God is a protector. Last week, we realized that God, yes, he is patient, but yes, he is also just. When we are actively pursuing God, we discover the character of God as a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Well, Jennifer, what does that look like? Well, let's look at the life of Jesus because once again, he is our perfect example. Jesus got up, Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left his house and he went off to solitude by himself to pray. There are several times throughout the New Testament we see where Jesus went away from everybody else to pray, to have conversations, to seek his knowledge and his wisdom. He prioritized time with the Father, even in the busiest time of his season. I mean, the busiest season of his ministry. We see a lot of moments of Jesus taking off and praying. I remember the first time a pastor said, Jesus started ministry at 30, died at 33. He did everything that we couldn't do and some of y'all can't do in 35 years, you know, just being dramatic. But in those 3 years periods, we see that he was constantly pursuing God. He pursued him. So this even for myself, someone like myself, my season is busier. Going to school, handling this podcast, really actively pursuing the things that God has told me to do for years, and I'm actively pursuing it. But I have to remind myself, Jennifer, you can never be too busy to prioritize God. None of us can. Now, it may shift because there was a time in my life where I would be in prayer for hours and study for hours. I may not have that. And when I say that was like almost on a daily basis, I may not have that now, but it's still the point is not about the time and perfection. It's about the purpose and the intent. Once again, we're talking about intent and actively pursuing. Doesn't matter how busy or light or chill in between the season is, are you prioritizing your pursuit of Christ? We see Jesus prioritized God. He woke up early. If you have to get up another 30 minutes earlier, 45 minutes early to pray, read, you do that. Why? Because God has been way too faithful for you not to. One thing about Jesus, or he also exemplified to us, he understood the scripture. I want to say it's in season four. I did a three, four part breakdown of Jesus in the wilderness and what that looked like. It was the humanity of Christ. I wanted us to look at the humanity of God and how he was weak, but yet because he understood the scripture. And I think sometimes we forget Jesus is fully God, but while he walked the earth, he laid down his divinity to take on the plight of humans. So that temptation, that battle with the enemy, of the enemy saying things to him, that was scripturally based. But he misconstrued the scripture, of course, because that's what the enemy does. He twists and he tries to deceive and things like that. But Jesus responded with the word. When Jesus was 12 years old and his parents thought they were with him, and they turned around and was like, wait a minute, this boy hasn't been up with us for a couple of days. They went back to the city where they left from, and he was in the temple talking, learning. What is Jesus telling us? The first one that we talked about, prioritizing prayer. The second one is that he searched scripture and he knew scripture. So that when Satan came with temptation, Jesus himself used scripture against the enemy. He really could have just told him, get out of my face, and kept walking. But once again, he is our perfect example. He knew the scripture because he studied the scripture. Remember, I talked about the temples. He had to dig into it like a treasure. And number three, Jesus valued the Father above all. John 4:34 says this. Oh, I thought I had it pulled up. John 4:34, I'm going to paraphrase. It says, my food, says Jesus, it is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you value God and his will over everything else? In a world that is telling you to have this, go after that, know your identity, make sure you this, make sure your skin is looking good, your body's looking good, your health is good, make sure your money is good, make sure all those things, they all have a place. But the question is, because here's the truth, what you value is what you pursue. So we learn that from Christ. He prioritized time with God, even in the busy season. So all of my busy folks, including myself, we have no excuse. We have to prioritize God. He dug into the word, and he understood the word. Yes, he is word itself, but we see the examples of him going into the temple, sitting, and he was talking and having a conversation, learning. And that was also part of the Jewish custom. So the young boys had to learn the Torah, the laws. So he was a student of the written word. And then also he valued God himself, his Father, above everything else. Above everything else. And I am concerned how I will hear comments from people when someone says, man, I keep God first. And when you start to go into how for real they keep God first, for some Christians, I'm not talking about, you know, when you see people who post things like maybe in their bio, their social media bio, they may be like, God first, family second, blah, 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 right? And then it goes on to whatever else. I'm talking about those who actively pursue God and you have a conversation with them and you realize, oh, they pray about everything. They seek God about everything. Oh, they won't move until the Lord says, oh, wow, you guys did that. And I'm telling you from my perspective as someone who, when I talk to other believers and I tell them how my husband and I operate and how we pray about everything and how we teach our children and all these other things and how we're in our word. And I, even how I'm building my business, I'm like, God, I need to see it in your word. I need to get a marketing plan that comes from your word. I need to get a way to how to communicate to people from your word, all these things. And I have people who are like, man, that's a blessing. You have some people like, wow, that's a lot. Oh, you saved. What does that even mean? Either you're saved or you're not. But are we that hungry for God where I know, even when I'm reading things about how to live this life from someone who is an expert in that field, have I taken it and measured it against the word of God to make sure that their teaching is not against my faith? It's not against what my creator has said. It's not against what my savior has said. Do I have that in me? When I am learning things about whatever it is, God, does this line up with your character, your word, your heart? Show me in your word. So when Jesus is saying that he valued him over everything else, that's an applicable way that we can do that. Are we valuing him? Are we pursuing him more than anything else? And this is a question that I really want you to ask yourself on this week and write this down. Am I actively pursuing Jesus or am I passively waiting for wisdom to find me? Those first 11 verses, there's a lot of action words behind it. And sometimes when we are in a pursuit, we're renewing, we're asking God to help us with just doing the things that we have to. We also have to, and I'm going to encourage us to make sure that we're constantly asking God to strengthen us in this new walk in pursuit. Because in areas where you are weak, he is made strong. So you may feel discouraged. You may feel bothered. You may feel like, I feel like I'm not doing this right, all these other things, but it's not about a level of perfection. It's about a level of consistency and being intentional. Are you being intentional? And that's where I want you to ask yourself, am I actively pursuing Jesus or am I passively waiting for wisdom to find me? And you have to really be honest. When's the last time you truly sought God? And I'm not saying seeking, and I want to make this clear. I'm not talking about seeking God for a specific thing. Maybe you prayed for a job. Maybe you prayed for better health, relationship, what all those things. Now those, and that's beautiful. I will never tell people not to pray for those things. But I'm talking about just seek after him, God, wholeheartedly. I just want your heart. Give me your mind. What are your ways, your thoughts on this? Because scripture lets us know that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. But it does not say that we cannot seek after his ways and thoughts. It encourages us to. That's why we seek after wisdom. And I'm talking about not when Jesus prayed and I'm asking us to even prioritize prayer. I'm not talking about a quick prayer. It's like, oh, Lord, I thank you for this day. You are so amazing. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Like I do those prayers when I am when I get the kids up and we're on our way out, we ask him for safety and protection. I'm talking about prayers to where you're like, Lord, I need to hear it. Maybe it may not be an hour prayer, but is it 20 minutes of intentional praying? Not just listen to this podcast, not just listen to another message, because there's a lot of great word out there, a lot of great preachers. I'm talking about praying and digging into your word. And you ask him questions and then you wait for an answer. When was the last time you just waited for an answer? I won't let go until you bless my soul. Do you have that in you? Well, God, I'm not letting go till I hear from you. I'm staying on this. You're like, Jen, I got to get up and go to school or I have to go to work or whatever like that. Fine. That means you come back later and you tell God, okay, now I'm back at it. Remember what we were talking about? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait because I need to hear your voice. I need to hear your wisdom. So as I really want you to ask yourself that question, I'm going to repeat it. Am I actively pursuing Jesus or am I passively waiting for wisdom to find me? And the ways that we can make sure that we're pursuing wisdom is number one, prayer time, intentional prayer time. Number two, set aside time daily to read the Bible. When I say read, I mean try your best to dig into it, not just devotionals. Devotionals are beautiful. Now, there are some devotionals that allow you to break down the word to give you a better understanding. So not just devotional as in, oh, you repeat, let's say Psalms 23:1, and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, and you speak over it. No, I'm talking about understanding scripture itself and taking time to dig into it. Then as you are digging into it, you ask God questions. Ask him to help you to memorize it so that it can stay in your heart. I remember when I was younger, one of the, you know, we're all adults now, but when I was younger, vocation Bible study, one of the teenagers, she would tell us, you know, start off with one scripture and just really ask God to help you remember that scripture and study that scripture so it can be in your heart. Because there's another scripture that says, Lord, I hide your word in my heart so that I may not sin against thee. When Jesus was in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights fasting. And at the end, here comes the enemy. He spoke what was in him. And a lot of times when we're in such weak places, we speak what is within us. But the question is, are we speaking God or are we speaking flesh? So when you are praying, wait to hear from him. Have a conversation with him. But also have a spirit of expectation that he will answer. But I want you to be so determined that, God, it doesn't matter how long it takes. I'm not going to move from this topic. If I got to put a pause on it because maybe the baby woke up, got to take care of her, whatever the thing is, and I'm going to come back to you and say, okay, I'm back. I want to hear from you. And then lastly, surround yourself with wise counsel. This is why I encourage us to get into communities of believers, church, small groups, all these things, because we have to be around people who have already been where we are. They have walked this path longer, or maybe they're in the same age group, but they have, God has given them a specific level of wisdom and they have overcome some things that you're in, right? So we want to be in a group of people that have God's heart in mind. So dig into your word, pray, ask God questions, memorize those verses so it can go deep, 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 deep within you so that we may not sin against you. So with that question, I want you to write down Proverbs 2:3-5 and just let this be the memory verse for this week. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Remember what Hebrews 11:6 says. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Seek, 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 pursue, 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 dig, 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 dig. Because next week, we're going to get into a topic that I've been through. I've heard a lot of people ask me, what do I do when I don't hear anything? What do I do when it's not clear? What do I do when I don't know the answer? I'm seeking, but God has no answer. I'm seeking, but I'm not really sure about this. How do I really trust God when I cannot truly see the outcome? We're going to dig into that next week. Because God wants us to be so intertwined with him, where there is a peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus, where those questions will be answered and we can rest assured knowing that God wants to hear from us. He wants us to pursue him, and he wants to answer every prayer that we ask of him. I love each and every one of you. I pray that you have received something. I pray that God just continues to bless over you. Father, I thank you for being a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Forgive us for treating you like an option instead of a treasure. Jesus, you pursue the Father with everything, and you taught us that kind of passion. Holy Spirit, give us that passion so that we may actively pursue God unapologetically. When we may feel like an outcast, or we may feel different, when things begin to fall by the wayside, God, we want to say, no, I am so hungry for you, where there's nothing else that will satisfy me but your presence, your touch, and your wisdom. God, we thank you for giving us a hunger for your word and giving us that passion to continue to be persistent and digging in it, because we want to find you. And there is so much that we can find and we can understand and learn of you, and that you will give us so that we may walk this life fully that you have intended us to walk, so that we may bring people into the kingdom. And God, if there's anyone right now who is listening that does not know you as their Savior, and they're like, I want to pursue God, first, I want to make sure that you know him as your Savior. Repeat after me. Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and rose for my sins. God, I repent of my sins. Come into my life as my Savior. If you believe that you are now saved, heaven is rejoicing, we are rejoicing, please find a home church, a community, a group, something that will help you along this walk. Do not do this alone. God did not intend for man to be alone, for woman to be alone. He intended for us to be in community, because the word of God tells us where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Some things that we are missing because we are not in the two or three. We have chosen to be isolated, and we're wondering why things aren't happening. Get into a group, a community of people who are about Christ and who are on the mission that God has called you to be on, because we're many members of one body. So God will have different churches to have different visions. But the main thing that we all need to make sure, that doesn't matter what branch of the body you are in, that Christ is the head. I love each and every one of you, and I will speak to you next week.